years have gone by and humanity is steadily declining. Our world is dying. Our connection to each other is dying. We are dying. And we are doing it to ourselves. Mysteriously, the human race has abandoned good morals and ideas that once held our universe together. And now, we have just discovered our enemy. Our intelligence division calls it the Darkness Virus. Our only guide is an intelligence AI called Mother. But are we too late? Are we forced to repeat the future again?
Welcome, team and survivors of the Darkness Virus. You may call me Mother. The observation has been made, the limited human singularities, which do not have complete command of the egoic system, have shown to have difficulty coming out of a state of trauma. Since the egoic system uses the functionality of the brain, it appears that many human singularities have difficulty achieving their perfect image. The question has been asked, can the limited human singularity overcome its self-incarceration of living in the shadows of past memories by using the techniques found when establishing protocol? Team. It is up to you to unveil the meaning of trauma and its impacts. You will also be required to explain the term and meaning of protocol. Welcome, the Navi. Welcome, L1 and survivors of the Darkness Virus. Shields up. You now have a limited time to transmit to the DKV Resistance. Remember, you are humanity's last hope.
And there's no other introduction than Mother to give us the green light on what to talk about today, ladies and gentlemen. So we're going to talk about, oh my gosh, no more trauma. But I got a lot of protocols for you. So I'm here with L1 today. Mother has given us the green light to go ahead and talk about this subject today to those members of the survivors of the Darkness Virus. L1, how are you today?
Doing good. How are you?
Pretty good. Of course, we know the conditions and the state of affairs that we're in. It's very important that our fellow human counterparts start understanding all the techniques and everything that it takes to be successful in life, which is mind, body, spirit, and so forth. And today we're going to talk about trauma, right? And what is trauma and protocol? Is that like a scientific method of trauma, the holistic trauma, or the doctor's version of trauma, a blunt object to the head kind of thing?
Well, we might brush upon that, because trauma has many meanings. But, being that this is an SO Life TAF Brain Snacks, we're going to be talking about protocol and how protocol can save you. But first, let's go into our sponsorship here. First of all,
yay, I love our sponsors. I love them so much. I'm going to give myself a hug.
Yeah, so welcome, team and survivors of the Darkness Virus. Speaking of trauma, now become the source of the self-sponsored broadcast assisting you to find your way through life. This Brain Snacks also happens to be self-sponsored too, and it's made possible by the Dynexum Project. Now, the Dynexum Project helps individuals in social media create multiple streams of income doing what they do best, which is promoting their content. Now, as your free gift from the BTS crew and to listeners of this broadcast, you can actually get cash back on just about anything you need or want from your favorite store by visiting our link at shopping.becomethesource.com. That's shopping, S-H-O-P-P-I-N-G, .becomethesource.com. Your purchases will directly contribute to BTS and all of the projects. And, speaking of trauma, I actually do have a product of the day. I'd like to introduce our product called OPC3 Isotonics.
Ali, Gomeric, Paranthocyanidins, dins.
And remember, FDA disclaimer, these statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration and are for educational purposes only. So this product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Always consult with your physician before beginning any diet and exercise program. Now, if you want to learn more about OPC3 Isotonics and how it can combat free radicals and be considered one of the most powerful antioxidants, you can actually go to our website, opc-3.nsa6.com. Once again, that's O like Oscar, P like Papa, C like Charlie, -3.nsa6.com. We'll have the link below in the description, so don't worry about that. But you can tap into that.
I like OPC. I take it every day. Actually, I take a few capsules a day, and it really has done wonders over time, especially in the small interim. It does some pretty cool things, too. I really like it. I tell everybody to take it. You know, you'd notice a difference, and you have more natural energy. That's one. People want more energy, but you don't realize that your body has an ailment or something bothering it, something that is just not working right. It could be blood flow. It could be antigens inside the blood. It could be anything. It could be neurodendrites not shooting off your brain right, you know. The hippocampus is kind of tired on you. Had too many beers last night. But there's something for everything. By the way, you know, this is – don't go out drinking because I say this, guys. Okay? Don't do that. If you drink, drink responsibly, you know, mostly water, I hope. The thing is, though, a lot of people knew this in the just to show how vitamins help, that if you're like completely drunk, you know, the next morning they give you a shot of vitamin B and you sober up like super quick. So
nice.
Yeah. And that's a remedy that they use in other countries. So you're hungover. Here's a vitamin B shot. So, and isotonics are the closest thing to, having the exact amount, almost like an IV, right? That's what they say with the isotonic brands. So, yeah, a little bit of water, put the isotonic in there, and you're good to go within 10 minutes, yo-yo. So, yeah, I really like them a lot. Thanks for mentioning it. Actually, I'm going to go get them. You know the other product I like, Al?
Tell me.
Complete Greens.
Oh.
Yeah, the Complete Greens. If you don't know how they made that, they actually they grab it, they flash freeze all the vegetables. And then because it's flash frozen, they're very brittle, they break. And it's flash frozen so quickly that it doesn't break the molecular structure and the bonds within the nutrients. So then they put it into a powder and they put it into this green thing, not because it's Complete Greens, but because that particular bottle prevents from UV rays from getting in. Haha, you didn't know that, huh? And so with the UV rays not coming in to, you know, break down the food component, it makes your body more alkaline. It's like having like 10 salads and two little scoops.
Nice.
Yeah, see, you didn't know that, did you?
I didn't.
Invention I want you to see. It looks something like this.
Let's get ready to learn about trauma. All right, I'm really excited about today's show. Come on, bring it out. What's going on with this trauma?
Well, first of all, you know, we're going to be talking about what it is, and, you know, we're... I definitely say we're not coming here with a... rose-tinted glasses saying that you don't have trauma or you can avoid trauma, because I think it's quite a prevalent problem. But we're also going to talk about the solution of protocol. So stick around to the end.
I like protocols.
Oh, yeah, I know you
they
have.
They make me feel sick.
I know you're going to have a lot to speak on it because you actually have been in the military. So I'm really, really curious to hear what you have to say
about
protocol.
Yeah, I was a real soldier. I can tell you all about that life, let me tell you. Duh. Anyway.
So first, to answer the question here, the definition of trauma, you know, everybody thinks it's this deeply disturbing or distressing experience, and it's something that you just never recover from.
All right, before you go any further.
What?
With the way you're talking is so human to me, I swear to you. Humans have this way of making everything so extra.
Exactly.
They hear the word trauma and they think it's the end of the world. Hear the contradiction out, though. The contradiction. They hear the word trauma and they think it's so horrible, so terrible. Oh, my God, I suffer such trauma. And you're living to talk about it. I'm like, no, that is not. Yes, there's a level of trauma that you have, but it's not trauma, you know. So chill out, sit down, and fix your life with a few protocols, and you're fine.
Okay, so here's the thing I hear, then you can tell in people's language, and it's funny because I hear this word, and this is for American English talkers, by the way. I hear this word from kids to adults, and the minute I hear it, depending on how they use it, I can tell already that they're being so extra. The word really. So
really?
I heard someone say, no,
really?
Not really. Really as in really? Like, oh my gosh, it hurt really bad. Or oh my gosh, I got pushed really hard. Oh my gosh.
So why would you use really the word hard? Really anyway? Because really is a part of real. And if you got pushed, you're saying I got pushed, I got pushed. Get it? I got pushed.
Exactly.
You real? Push?
No. I hear he pushed me really hard, or he pushed me really bad, or he pushed me really mean. It's like...
And you're living to talk about it and you're complaining. This is very interesting. Let me see what other wonderful thresholds you have. Do you see this big cannonball? Yes. I'm going to aim it exactly at you in just 1 minute. Ah! not. No, come on. Seriously, though. You guys got to chill with these words, man.
So it almost sounds like we're contradicting you by – it almost sounds like we're contradicting ourselves by saying that, oh, get over yourself.
Get over yourself.
Here's the thing. No. Let's break it down and define what trauma – let's define what trauma
I hold my comment
is
there.
From a strict, shall I say – denotation, strict dictionary definition.
Oh,
basically,
going denotation.
All trauma is the denotation. That's right. I think I said that right.
Yeah, you did.
It's basically, it's simply a trauma is simply just a sudden or a impact that's beyond your tolerance of something.
Is it beyond tolerance, though?
Well,
beyond what tolerance?
I would say beyond your perceived tolerance or the tolerance in the case of the body, the tolerance that the body was used to. Because a body doesn't exaggerate. A body is very mechanical. It's either too much or it isn't. That's all. So there is trauma. In fact, from the medical definition of trauma, a hit to the head, a hit to the body.
Right.
That's trauma.
It's not the hit. It's not the impact. Is what the hit and the impact leave behind. That's the trauma.
There you go. So
right?
That's the perfect objective definition of trauma. What's left over from an impact of something.
Right. So you can have an emotion, right? And it's not the emotion. It's the way the emotion impact your sense of judgment, because it ends that way, and what it did to you that changed your life, right? And so trauma has a little bit of weight. And what trauma has to say something like, I have been incapacitated, or I'm not truly able to continue forward because of the trauma. That trauma affects me in such a way that it hinders me from moving on. So with that said, I would never, ever, ever, ever admit to trauma, not to my ego. I'll tell my ego, get over it, because I have to live with that. So as soon as the ego gets a hold of the word trauma, you know what it's going to do to you? It's going to live that out. It's going to play that out. You think it's kind of fun because you're feeling it, but in reality, as time goes on, ooh, man, you're sinking your own ship.
Okay, so here's what I'm getting. When it comes to trauma, we're not denying the reality that it exists.
No.
However, you're talking about it starts to get detrimental when someone holds on to it.
Exactly. Scrambled eggs. Yep. Exactly.
Ugh, yuck. And
you don't like scrambled eggs?
Well, not. I'm just thinking.
You ever see scrambled eggs? So you put them on there, you put some stuff over there, you know, some cinnamon. No?
Cinnamon?
Never mind.
Gross. Okay, so. And, I think the question would mean, like, how do you know when someone's holding on to the trauma?
I can tell.
How can you tell? What would you say? Like,
First of all, humans have a wild tendency to want to keep talking and not listen to what anybody's saying. It's almost like you already know what you want to say and you won't listen to the other person. So if you're that person, stop being that person.
Okay,
and I'm saying that because you will never see the trauma in someone until you listen carefully to what they're saying. All trauma when people speak about it's very, very deep. It's not like, oh, I broke my nail and I went into trauma. It's not like that, okay? Or whatever. You know, I'm making fun of people. Yes. I'm making fun of situations. But I love you people. You got to survive. You got to understand this stuff. So the idea is that when you hear them, they become moodly changed. Their mood changes. Their ability to speak, you could see it like slowing down a little bit. You could see them swing left or right from the conversation, but not being dead on. You know, you could see it in their face where they like turn away or they kind of like halt. They kind of stop speaking. And that's when you can see what trauma has done to someone. And it's so subtle sometimes or so obvious. You know, so when you're speaking to someone, you should never judge that person and say, oh, you know, you'll get over it. You should never, ever, ever do that unless you're in training or something like that, or you're trying to help the person out. But don't ever say that unless you have a follow-up, because you never know how deeply hurt that person is, because, quite frankly, you're not paying attention. You're too busy and involved in the moment, the music, the conversation, what you want to say, you know, what the conversation is, your friends. You're not paying attention to that person. And they could have suffered something that they cannot get out of. So they're stuck in a box. That's real trauma.
Okay. So that So that, I would imagine that type of trauma, you really need to pay attention to the signs.
Yeah, you got to be a friend. You got to really care. I would think so. Okay. I would think you human beings would have this already. I mean, you live it every day.
Okay. So let's jump into something else. Like, when you say, how can you tell when someone is holding on to trauma? There's other symptoms too, but I think these symptoms are from a
more classification definition by the scientists and the community. Go ahead, I'm listening.
Based on what
you.
I know, they keep talking about it as if they're reliving the pain.
Exactly.
Also, I've noticed there's mood swings.
Same thing, yeah.
Also, resentment.
See, trauma can cause resentment, but trauma is not resentment.
But a symptom of trauma is maybe somebody is... They resent something.
Almost an after symptom. It's almost like their defense mechanism to try to be able to cope with the trauma. They think that by being angry at something or being a certain way, they can you know, ward off the evil spirits of trauma.
Hmm.
So it's a kind of an effect kind of thing.
Okay.
But yeah, it's there. It's the same package.
Yeah. I think, you know, that can have some detrimental impacts regardless. You know, I think it can cause people to withdraw from opportunities or from... real human connections.
It does. I agree.
Think it can also. I think that's part of why people live reactively is because of trauma. You know, we talk a lot about living reactively, and I think that part of living, you know, big cause of living reactively is because of trauma. Whether it was the trauma you're talking about from the medical perspective, or the real diagnosed symptom of a traumatic experience, or the trauma that someone's choosing to hold on to simply because they want to hold on to it.
So, like, have you experienced trauma?
You know, technically speaking...
Because, you know, trauma is like a shock to the system. Let me put it to you this way. Right?
I would say the short answer is yeah.
Right?
I can think of a couple of experiences.
Yeah, right.
I took a hit to the head when I was a kid.
Okay, that's called physical trauma.
And afterwards, the trauma that was caused was apparently I had gone through a concussion and I was dizzy.
Physical trauma.
And I had to be... I remember somebody carrying me into the emergency room. I was like 7 years old.
Wow.
Because I couldn't walk, apparently. I didn't know why. And in fact, another symptom of the trauma for me, was that my parents were there and they kept telling me to stay awake. I wanted to go to sleep when I was in the waiting room, and they said, do not go to sleep. And at first I was like, why? But then they told me, they said, based on your head injury, if you go to sleep, something worse could happen.
Yeah, you slip into darkness. You're definitely not. Your body starts to shut down. They can't tell. So yeah, it's true.
Yeah, but as a kid, you're just like, oh, I'm sleepy. I'm
yeah,
in bed.
No,
and they told me, I said, no. They're like, stay up.
There's been some horror stories on the same factor. You know, you get hit. Now, say for example, you're playing football. What do you call that in English? In your
talking about American football or soccer?
Soccer. Thank you. Fußball. Okay, so, you guys don't forget, you know, I come from overseas. So, soccer, right? Soccer. So, people hit it on the head. They bounce it on the head.
Oh.
So, when that ball is flying so many miles per hour and hits you on the head, that causes mild concussions. And over time, produces trauma. Muhammad Ali, famous, I fly like a butterfly, sting like a bee, right? That guy was a boxer, and he hit... He had this technique called rope-a-dope, like let you get tired, hit him a few times, let you get tired. But he had a lot of trauma to the head as well.
Wow.
And you can see him in today's world. You know, you can tell he's been damaged. Great. I don't want to call him a hero because I don't believe in fighting, but definitely a great athlete in what he did. Very good technique. But that's the price he paid, right, for having that. And again, I'm sure having to do it all over again and being smart about it, he probably would say no. What I'm saying is that physical trauma can have long-term damages. And there's already been studies that show that it sort of remaps the brain. It sort of damages some of the neurodendrites that are in there, or the hippocampus, and how it produces information over time. So you could be hit in the head at 7L, and then it won't appear to like 14 years later that part of your brain is just it's falling into the absent mode. And people don't realize this. And then they see children that grow up to be in their teens and they're a little bit more aggressive and they don't know why. But if you can map their brain, you could see that area of the brain is not functioning properly. But on the flip side, the traditional doctors say, oh, well, you know, you're screwed. But the new doctors say, no, you can actually force new neural dendrites to grow in that area. You just need to know how to activate the area. And so you give exercise and some other stuff and some nutrients, and they're better after time, of course.
But you know, and I think this is a great segue into the solution of protocol, because it's almost frightening. Like, if you were to tell me at age 7, after my, let's say I'd gone to the hospital. Well, I did go to the hospital, but let's say someone came in and said what you just said. Like, they said, hey, L1, guess what? We don't know if this is going to affect you 10, 20, 15 years from now, and we don't know what's going to happen. I would be terrified. And the truth is, you know, that could happen to anybody.
And it has. A little kid falls down, hit his head, a little kid like 7 or 8, hit his head, gets up, doesn't wake up the next day. Happens all the time. I'm not going to say happens all the time, but it happens enough that we should know better. Little falls, they mean a lot, especially when you get tired. Getting tired is a bad symptom of that. You know, there's some other symptoms too, you know, whether your eyes dilate properly or not. There's some things like that. But those are more of the quick ones that they try to look for, you know. So, yeah, those are pretty, pretty serious things. But then are we talking about emotional trauma as well, or just physical trauma?
I would say yes, because, you know, that's another thing too, that, you know, people may have gone through a traumatic experience that was more emotional, especially, you know, people who are victims of emotional abuse or psychological abuse. They may not have had any physical trauma, but the emotional trauma is there. And the emotional trauma, I think that scary thing you said, like it affects you 9, 10 years, you know, 10, 15, 20 years down the line, that's still a real possibility. And that's, you know, in a way I can see why people become frightened.
So I got a few choice words to say about visual and auditory trauma.
Right? Defined by visual and auditory
trauma. Well, things you see, things you hear that you have to experience.
You mean like a scary movie or like seeing people fight?
That too, but that relies more on judgment. When you were seeing people fight, like your parents.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing like your parents fight or a divorce, you know, they get divorced and, you know, there's a fight going on. You know, the kid goes, oh, it's my fault. So what ends up happening, and these are like, this is sort of new science for the Western world, but the Eastern world kind of knew this already. They already know that certain things produce a certain problem. So just recently, you know, they're combining the Eastern philosophies with Western philosophies, and the way they bind it together is through neurological mapping. So right now, you know, 10 BC, we didn't have this stuff, right? But you know, at 0 or 1 AD, we still didn't have this stuff. So I want to say that people have been around for a long time with the same issues, okay? So nothing's changed there. What has changed is the ability to map out genes and see how genes are functioning within our bodies and stuff like that. So what they discovered is that a child that may go through trauma, visual or visual stimulus or auditory stimulus, but that they're, you know, in the muck of it all, their brain will interpret what they see and literally turn off genes that are very vital to their health and growth. And so they develop a nervous condition, which then creates another problem, which may or may not create a cortisone. And cortisone, you know, deteriorates the body. So what I'm saying is that when children are going through things, they might smile because they don't have the range of emotion to defend themselves. But inside their brain, they're turning off and on genes. So what they discovered is that once you give that love back to that child, even at an older age, that attitude that is replicated and done a few times will turn those genes back on, giving the person a healthier life.
Nice.
So all of that has been documented in your science journal and stuff like that. So don't look at me. It's your world, not mine. I'm the visitor. So, that's really important to understand. So, and you can't judge trauma as, you know, I don't have a meter reading that goes red every time it's real trauma or me just making up stuff because I don't know how to deal with myself. You know what I'm saying? So it's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
So how would you deal with someone saying, this is the end of the world, I'm going to die? I mean, do you stop everything you're doing to save that person from themselves, knowing that one or two words that you say are not going to be enough? It's got to be a prolonged and repeated process. What would you do?
Okay, so then I think this is a great segue for those of you stuck around till the end of talking about protocol, because that to me sounds like a definition of protocol. But first, you've been in the military. So can you tell me what's the vital importance of protocol?
Protocols. Oh my gosh. Protocols are an amazing thing. So first, let's start before the protocol. You need to know what you need to know.
Okay.
So for example, if putting down the shutters at night and locking your doors and doing a walk around your home, your perimeter, or if you have cameras in your home, you check all your cameras and you do everything. If you have the equipment, if you know how to use the equipment, if you have the ability, you know, the knowledge already, then a protocol is super, super vital. So when I produce a just imagine for a second, right? And I have cameras in my garage, right? Because I have Teslas and I want to make sure they don't catch fire or they're plugged in or the garage is not left open. There's not a cable there. I want to make sure that my gates are closed and stuff like that, right? So when I go through my protocol, I say I'm going to set aside 15 minutes to go over my checklist, right? And the checklist is my protocol. It's what I'm going to do. So I go to checklist. I go, did I do this? Click, 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 click. I know how to do it. I know what I'm checking for. And, you know, even cutting your grass. I'm being really silly, but because I want to show you how good protocols are. Even cutting my grass. Well, I cut my grass. I'm looking at my lawn. I know what's going on with my lawn. I see if there's bugs, no bugs, snakes, no snakes. And I look at cracks in the cement. I'm looking for weeds. So that the protocol of doing something in a systematic approach gives you a lot of information of what needs to be done for the future. So the future doesn't sneak up on you.
Oh, it's okay. So
one more thing. Also, it lets you sleep better at night because you know that you did this because of a reason and that reason is fulfilled. So if you are in a business and you follow a protocol, so check email, send email out, 4 o'clock, do this. Sounds like an agenda, but an agenda is part of your protocol. And then you go through all that, and then you have peace of mind. And so no cortisol, no trauma, no nothing, just chill. And when you say, hey, now that I know, because in my protocol, I checked for that, and here's your answer. How cool is that?
Nice, nice. Okay, you know what? So I think I've formulated some solutions for people to follow here having to do with protocol.
I will say one thing, because you said military.
Tell me.
Protocol in the military is so important, right? You civilians can joke around and play around and do stuff, right? Because the commercial industry makes things for you kind of dummy-proof. Otherwise, you get to sue them and all this, right?
Oh, idiot-proof,
right.
They call it.
Yeah, right. So, but in the military, it's not so. You grab a wire and you get some voltage going through you because somebody didn't ground the – and you guys out there, the girls have been there. You know, you don't ground your equipment properly into the ground, right? You get shocked. You go to the hospital. You might not make it out. If you don't set your trucks properly, you might run somebody over. And it has happened time and time again. If you don't set your weapon in a certain way, you might shoot somebody or yourself. So protocols in the military are so important because it saves lives. And in the commercial world, it helps you become productive and successful. And in the civilian world, it keeps your mind safe, sound, and you feel better. How's that sound?
Sounds great. Okay, so here's the impression. So I've come up with a solution here based on what you said. First of all, a couple of steps people can take. And this is not necessarily in a order. You don't have to follow this strict order, but here's a logical progression of what I get. Number one, be aware. Next time you feel fear, bias, or hesitation in the present, ask yourself, is it being caused by trauma? But here's the trick. Don't dwell too much on it. You actually may never know because trauma can happen, but you may not even remember consciously.
Well,
because this is a Nesso Life episode, or even talking from like the etheric level, the soul level.
I was going to get into
the
that
past
too.
Life trauma level.
Yes,
you can have
so
past life trauma.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yep. I remember working with someone and they were having pains in the knee. And then we researched and we figured that supposedly, I say supposedly because I can't prove it, but it was there. The evidence was there that they had an accident in their prior life where their leg was cut off.
Wow.
And so that specifically on the same date when it was cut off is when he started feeling the pain.
Wow.
So it was like connected, you know, and if you study electrons and retro time entanglement in the science industry, you see something there that kind of mimics the same thing. So yeah, it's amazing how hard it is to be a human being. Because you got, like you say, past life trauma, you have your egoic system, and it's hiding the trauma from you, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't tell you, hey, we're going to have some trauma today. You know, no, it's, you just feel it.
So in a way, or you got to be, in a way, it's kind of like a, this is almost kind of like a paradox. You have to be aware, but it's almost kind of a waste of time in a way to kind of delve into every single trauma that you may have had in this life and your past life. That's why I think the importance of protocol is going to be your lifesaver.
Huge.
You can go insane just thinking about what kind of traumas that may or may have not happened to you. That's why following protocol, that's the impression I get, Novi, is it's like vital.
Well, and, when you go into the paranormal side of it, it gets so weird because there's no time, there's time, there's no time, there's linear time. There's all these feelings that you feel with different entities, different paranormal situations, that if you don't have a strict protocol, you can actually develop like schizophrenia. You can actually just mess your entire life up or become a hoopla hoopla person, which has this great belief system in something rather than researching the truth.
Or create fear, more fear and separation.
Or even worse, spread that fear and separation to other people.
Exactly.
That is a very serious thing. So before you're going to do something, you research it, you follow a little bit of protocol, you experiment, you come back out of it, you research it some more, you enhance your protocol, and over time, if you stick to the protocol, you're safe.
Okay, so let me just summarize this. Let me get this all out. So basically, be aware of what your fears and your biases and your hesitations are, because it could have been caused by trauma. However, at the same time, it's probably not productive to hypothesize over every single trauma that may or may not have happened within this time, within no time, within a past life, within a future life, whatever. That's why I go back to following protocol. And
I got to finish this.
So protocol is an agreed upon set of rules and procedures that you make ahead of time to follow at all times for the sake of creating routine, trust, predictability, and actually maybe even assisting you in getting over the trauma, or at least dealing with it when you're triggered, if you get triggered.
I know Mother is ready to pull the plug because we can only transmit for so long, but there's two very vital, important things. They're so vital that if you don't get them right from the beginning, you are, put it this way, failure rate is 98%, and it's for a reason. Your ego, your egoic system, right, that functions in your body, can only access on demand your memories and your judgment. Judgment comes from your memories. So basically, your ego is always looking at the past. So when you're telling folks, do not focus on the trauma, the egoic system can do nothing but focus on the trauma. It can't see the future at all. It is so confused, right? So what it does, it almost tricks you into continuously saying, but this is how I feel. This is how I'm doing stuff. And without a protocol, you don't know to stop that. You go, yeah, you feel this way. So what? Move on. So that is one huge factor in how the ego tricks you into living your trauma and putting you in a paradox.
So would you say that following protocol is even more important?
It is. You could not believe how important it is. It is just so – and then you get confused. Listen, when you're dealing with the paranormal, you're dealing with life, or you're dealing with business where things don't exist until you create them, you can't create something you don't know how to create. You have to look outside yourself. That's why we pair up and we work together with somebody else's mind. But without the protocol, you have no direction. Think of it as a map to success. Without it, your ship probably is going to sink. So protocols are really important, and we do them anyway. You know, we brush our teeth, right?
Yeah, that's very simple protocol.
Yeah, we brush our teeth, we eat at a certain time, we know what foods gives us indigestion, right? and we know to go to school at a certain time, we know how to follow a degree. So we are following some type of protocol, but forced protocol and the stuff that you have to invent so that you can become successful on your own, there's kind of you got to like step outside and really study it. That's what I would say. Does that help?
Oh, that helps.
You sure?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Because I know that people out there have mood swings right now. Oh, my God. I can't believe he just said that. So what do you got, L1?
All right. So I would say, yeah, I mean, this is a great you know, great set of rules, or I should say procedures, for people to follow. Or to, you know, we're going to actually have this in an article for those of you who want to see this in writing, or, you know, have a little bit more extensive expansion on it. When we'll have the links in the description below to our website.
You know,
well.
And likewise, you can reach out to us at aftermath@becomeswords.com.
That's true.
Or visit our forum at inet.nsa6.com. Or we even have an SO Life one too. SO Life, and yeah, this is the real stuff though. SO Life.theboke.com.
Uh oh.
That was the, you know, that's going to be. If you're a member of the Boke, you're going to get the real information raw. So I hope you're ready for that. But yeah, we're here for you.
Awesome.
So is that all you got, lady? That's it. That's it. Bring it on.
I think we've
said a lot.
I think we've said enough.
I think we said enough. She says in her creepy voice. All right, L1, just give us a quick recap. What can I do to make sure that I got good protocol?
Well, to make sure you have good protocol,
first of all,
you have to establish protocol. Remember, it's an agreed set of rules and procedures you make ahead of time. You have to tell yourself that you're going to follow this at all times as much as you possibly can, even if you're tired, even if you don't feel like it, especially when you don't feel like it, because those are the times that it counts. You have to start ingraining that habit. So if you have an agreed upon set of rules and procedures that you make ahead of time to follow as much as you possibly can, you're going to create more routine, trust, predictability in your life. I mean, emergencies happen. Let's face it. Being thrown off your protocol happens, but it'll happen a lot less. And guess what? In the long run, it might even create less trauma over time because you're following it than someone who has no protocol.
And I cannot disagree with you at all, my friend. You hit it on the nose. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this brings a conclusion to our show. This is the Novi signing off, wishing you the best and the happiest existence and experience that you could possibly have here on this planet you call Earth. Remember, you are humanity's last hope. And L1?
Well, definitely love to sign off. Thank you guys so much. And, you know, may you, to source be the journey. And may you become the source to source.
Transmissions on the